Hi, Matt. We had a beautiful morning here today. It was great. It was a great service. I mean, both of them. Can you help me out preaching tonight? You're going to help me out, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to get the Holy Spirit juice going, okay? The anointing of God, because it's in you. And here in the assembly, we're drinking the same spirit. Okay, here it goes. A young man, I was with guys in my office tonight, and we talked about jealousy. And a young man, you know, brought this up, and we just talked about it, and it was, what would happen if a guy fell in love with a beautiful girl? And he feels God told him that he's going to marry her, and then she marries his best friend. Okay, take a minute, process that, think about it. Okay, this beautiful girl, God said to me, like Pete was staring at Debbie. Pete was staring at Debbie. It was like Pete said, God told me, Debbie, they're happily ever after. They live, okay? So in that case, it turned out great. In this case, it's a different story. So the girl marries the guy's best friend. What do you think of that? Okay, I want this group over here to think hard about it, and I want you to talk to each other about it. Go ahead. Over here, the old people, they're just falling asleep over here. Been there, done that. It's no big deal. Okay. Okay. Wow, I tell you. Wow. Go ahead, keep talking for a minute. Okay. Has that happened to anybody here in the room? You want to raise your hand for a minute? Has that happened to anybody in the room? Or is it happening this very moment as I'm speaking? Okay. This morning we spoke about the forehead, and in heaven the name of God is on our forehead. And we spoke about the high priest in Moses' day. They had a gold plaque here that said holiness to the Lord on the forehead of the high priest. So we have two pictures. One, in heaven, the name of God would be on our forehead. And then on the earth is God's will that his name would be on us. And why the forehead? Our thoughts, our identity, who we are, our value, the holiness of God, crowned with honor from God. When Jesus said his high priest prayer in John 17, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before I came here. And then give them this glory. Wow. Then we spoke about Uzziah, the king who went into the temple in arrogance. And as he went into the temple in arrogance, his heart was lifted up, and it says leprosy came on his forehead. And we said that that happens to us. That leprosy comes in our mind, the leprosy representing self-life and sin. When a man's girlfriend breaks his heart, it's easy for him to think revenge or hurting somebody or depression or withdrawal. And And the human race is just filled with this kind of reaction. And Jesus taught us that we have to be more mature or deeper in life. We have to process these things. When we are hurt, we have to learn to walk with God. When we are disappointed, we have to learn this. So he said it this way. You know the verses. Here's a few. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Denying myself. How do I, when the woman leaves me and goes with my best friend, how do I get adjusted? It may take me some time, but I have to process this because I can say, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I wasn't right about it. Maybe it was just me, my emotion, I was attracted to this woman. Maybe it's better that she would never marry me. Maybe God is doing this. Maybe this is better. And may God bless that woman and the guy, however it goes. Can you do that? The story can be told many ways. When things are stolen from us, like money, position, it can be told many ways, like pain. Maybe the pain is good for me. Maybe my broken heart, that's good. Maybe I'm supposed to learn something and deny myself and take up the cross. Because God wants to put his name on my forehead. No, it's there now. It is. I wanted to bring some duct tape tonight to put on the forehead. Pastor Ronaldo said that's hillbilly chrome. I think that's the only thing some of you are going to take out of the message tonight. I've been studying about narcissism, and I don't want to concentrate too much on it, but I'm fascinated by the subject, and I have a list here because there's two meanings. One is the more popular way that we throw the word around, narcissistic, a loving of self, coming from the Greek myth where Narcissus, young boy, looked in the reflection of water, saw himself, was fascinated with himself. But it's also a personality disorder. It involves a distorted self-image. Emotions can be unstable and intense. There's excessive concern with vanity, prestige, power, personal adequacy. There also tends to be a lack of empathy, an exaggerated sense of superiority. Sounds like fun. According to Psychology Today, frequent lies, they rarely admit flaws, highly aggressive when criticized, false image, rule-breaking, emotional invalidation and coercion and manipulation, the use of or control of others as an extension of oneself. A long list, a lot of stuff there, and I'm fascinated by it. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. I go, what is the answer for that? And she's a godly Christian. And she told me about a case, and she said, it can happen. that a person can change completely through the cross. They said, I saw it. I saw it happen. I saw a person who had this problem, and I saw them change. I saw them mature. I saw them change from being so totally occupied in their orientation with their self-love and occupation with their life that they became a spirit-filled servant. Some of the characteristics, extreme feelings of jealousy, they expect special treatment, they exaggerate their talents and importance. They're very sensitive. They have a tendency to be easily hurt and to feel rejected with little provocation. They have difficulty maintaining healthy relationships. They fantasize about their own intelligence, their own success, power, and appearance. They have an ability to take advantage of others to achieve a goal without regret or conscience. Wow. Let's close that right now. Let's move on. That is so... What is on our forehead? Because of the new birth, I have all kinds of possibility to respond to Christ when I'm hurting. To deny myself and take up the cross. Listen to Jesus. He said, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This is the rich young ruler. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. No. I can't imagine that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do that. Yes, you can. You can do that. No, I cannot. Yes, you can. You can do that. Yes, you can. You can do that. Absolutely. How? The Spirit of God is in the world to anoint me and lead me in taking up the cross. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and calling us to take up the cross and to deny ourselves. No, I can't do that. That girlfriend disappointed me and broke my heart. Yeah, I know. And you hold on to that thing. You just hold on to that. It's just like there's a car moving and hold on to the back bumper. And hold on to the back bumper. And just hold on to the back bumper. And that car will drive you around town, dragging you through the street. And be sure to hold on to the back bumper and have a nice ride. Because your jealousy will destroy you and the people around you. Because your selfishness will devour you and take you down. You know, somebody said, G.K. Chesterton, I think he said, Satan fall from heaven. This is an interesting statement. Not theologically correct, so that's not my point, but listen. He said he fell from heaven by his own gravity. Wow. You know how people destroy themselves? By their own gravity. You know how they get messed up? Their own gravity, their own sin takes them down. The name on their forehead is self. The name in my life is my self-love. The whole thing about me is me, my self-love. That'll do it. That'll rip me up, tear me down. That'll destroy me. That'll ruin my relationships. My jealousy is like venom out of my mouth. My judgments are strong and severe, and I'm looking for revenge, and I will get it. That's self-life. And Jesus said, and I know we know the Bible verse, but I want to make a point here. He said, there's no way you would ever know me except through the cross. There's no way you'll never get over it except through the cross. You will go nowhere when it comes to God without the cross. If you don't have a cross and you don't know about the cross, then you're at Christianity 101. And we're very happy you are. May God bless you. We are with you. But unless you get beyond yourself and start to think about God and His ways and deny yourself, then you won't go anywhere with Jesus Christ in any meaningful way with the Holy Spirit. Guys, it's like the Holy Spirit is just hovering, just saying, take up the cross. Take up the cross. I will fill you. I will fill you. You pray for that woman that married your best friend. You go ahead. You bless them. Go ahead, say it. And say it and forgive her and love her and pray for her. I'm right there. I will pour my Spirit out. The Holy Spirit will anoint you with fresh oil. Isn't that the problem with our, dead churches? What happened to the dead church? Well, they get so wrapped up with themselves. It was all about the parking lot and the carpet. It was all about, it wasn't right what you said to me. And why is she in the kitchen all the time? I am the best cook in the church. And why are they always talking about the offering? Or why are they always talking about missions? The whole thing is supposed to be a lot deeper, really deep. We could never do it. Where God brings us, we could never do it on our own. Where God brings you to the cross, you would never get there on your own. Where God has planned for you, you could never get there by yourself. Never. Not even get close to it. You never get to be where God wants you to be if you don't have a cross in your life. If you have a cross in your life, you learn to forgive. You learn faith. Let's go to the last part, Hebrews 11, and here it is. That is Moses, verse chapter 11, Hebrews 11. Before I get into it, we are into it, but Pastor Ronaldo asked him to do we're going to do a special thing for the wrap tonight, right, Pastor? We got it, so he's in charge. Maybe you can say it at the end. Okay, so he'll be in charge, and we'll have a good time at the end of the service, which is going to end pretty soon. I'm not in any hurry, but I'm so glad we're here tonight. Wow. And by the way, if you can hear the morning message on the forehead, it was really touching me very much. Hebrews 11, 23, verse 23. By faith, Moses... This isn't the important verse, but he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, so they had faith. By faith, Moses, 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's denial. Moses, you're Pharaoh's daughter. You got privilege. I know I got privilege. I don't want it. I don't want it. You don't want it. Remember that French mystic, beautiful woman? I don't know what century, maybe Pastor. Remember? She was very attractive. Madame Guyon, was it? Okay, Madame Guyon. And she was a very attractive woman, and men were attracted to her and so on. And she was a godly woman, was after God, and she prayed that God would change that. She got smallpox and her face got all scarred up and everything. And she could have used, I'm saying there are things that happen in life and it's very easy to interpret them in the wrong way. And even good things. I am the son of Pharaoh. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he's not interested. Why? He found the cross. Sometimes when I see these missionary clips, I know those countries where I sit there in my heart. I have such respect for these people when there's nothing going on. And they're people of God. And they live there. And the foreign missionary, they go there. And they just interpret life a different way. Not, you know, is my bed soft? But it's like God sent me. I'm on a mission. What's the food like? Or maybe I'm going to get sick. Or what's the transportation? Or I got to walk. Or I got to use a donkey. I got to go from A to B. I'll never travel more than 10 miles from here. But that's fine. Because somehow, they have something going on. Look at verse 20, 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, we enjoy sin. We do. We enjoy sin. But it ends. In the morning service, when it came to me, somebody thought my son overdosed, and I know his son. His son comes here. He was coming here for some years, and he left. He got into drugs. He came back. He was here some weeks in a row, and then yesterday he overdosed, and he said, let's pray for him. So we had a prayer, and I was thinking about this. Drugs in this world is like they are relentless. Many of them are so powerful. It takes one time and you're addicted. You're addicted once, just one. A good man, a good woman. I mean, beautiful people. One time, once, only once, and it's over. Wow. I got to get it in my mind way before that thing is presented to me, that I'm going to choose to suffer than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Same thing with homosexuality, by the way. The numbers are there, 37,000 new cases of AIDS every year. Homosexuals live a shorter life. Lifestyle is not a good lifestyle. It's not a good lifestyle. It's not a good lifestyle. I don't care what you say, what's politically correct or whatever all that stuff means. I don't even know what you're talking about. I am like a doctor telling people how you can get a disease. I'm like an educator telling people how to live. I'm like a person, a pastor, who's telling people that, hey, it's a minefield out there. Unless you get a grip of the cross, and realize what the cross is, and find the joy of it, and the healing of the cross. Here's a guy years later, the girlfriend is off married, living happily ever after, and he gets a glimpse of it, he goes, wow, thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Thank you, God. Whoa. What? The flesh doesn't do that. The flesh puts curses. The flesh looks the other way. Yeah. The flesh can't even look at Facebook without going through some emotional contortion of jealousy and gymnastics, of weird, vain feelings, because there's no cross in the life. You bring your business to the cross. You bring your family. You bring your relationships. You never say accusatory things to any sister or brother out of jealousy or revenge. You do not mistreat each other and tear each other down because you have a cross in your life. And you love and learn to love. Okay, finishing. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer, to forgive, to love, to bless. Choosing. That's what we're doing. We're choosing. We choose. We make choices. By the way, the devil wants to take choice away from you. Yeah, he wants to take choice away. They don't talk about it in the world very good. They're not good at that. They like to take choice away and say, you don't have any choices. You don't have any choices. This is your life. You don't have any choices. Like, kind of stay down there, kind of like somebody down here, and I'm down here, and I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I'm down here. I have no choice. I'm down. I'm down. And he's telling me, and it's kind of like the devil is telling me, stay down there. Don't even think about it. You've got no choice. There's no way out. You quiet down. You're a nobody. You've got nothing. Stay down there. Jesus says, we choose to take up the cross. That's the thing the devil doesn't want us to discover. The cross. We take up the cross. We find the cross. What does God say to me down there? God says to me, Tom, you got a future with me. I'm God. You know, God. I'm God. I'm bigger than your life down there. You know what I want you to do? I want you to choose. What? The cross. I want you to choose the cross. I want you to take up the cross and stop whining. I want you to take up the cross and be spirit-filled. I want you to take up the cross and get up and get moving. Oh, I can't. Why can't you? Choose. It's your choice. Yeah, but the devil said, I don't have any choices. I don't have any choices where to go, where to live, who to marry. I don't have choices how to live. I don't have any choices. I'm a victim, you know? That's it. I don't have any choice. And God is saying, you got one. You got me. You got me. Come to me. You got one good one. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Take up the cross. Yeah, but they said I'm a narcissist. Yeah, you are. Take up the cross. I can change you. I'll fill you. I'll teach you. I'll build you up. I'll put my name on your forehead. I'll honor you. Look at the last part. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches. That means the cross. You know what the cross is? It's the electric chair of the Roman Empire. Yeah, so, you know, can you imagine having an electric chair around your neck as a piece of jewelry? Like they wear the cross around the neck? The cross, yeah, back in the first century, it was shameful. First century, it was a symbol of execution, a shame by the Roman Empire, hanging a man on there. What did he do to get up there? Can you imagine? But we say, it's the secret between me and God. And he told me, and he's teaching me. And I'm esteeming it very highly, because it's in my loneliness that I find companionship with God. You know what a lonely person should do? Take up the cross and have fellowship with God. You know what a single person, a dejected person, an empty person, a guilty person, a person with a family or a family that's been destroyed, or a business that they've lost, or something that happened, or a disease, or whatever it is, I'm saying there's something here that we need to learn and know. And I'm saying it to myself, too. It's greater than the treasures in Egypt. King Tut, wasn't it King Tut this king of Egypt was buried with tons of gold in his pyramid. In his pyramid, burial tomb, there's tons of gold. And it was it's in a museum. And I think it was in Florida at one time. They brought the treasures to Florida, put it in a museum. And as they showed the world what was there in that Egyptian tomb. And Moses could say, all the treasures of Egypt are nothing to me compared to me choosing and finding Jesus Christ in my life. I esteem the cross better riches, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, we need to stand up and not fear the wrath of the king. We need to stand up, have this, you know, don't come out of your hole down there. Don't come out. Stay down there. God is saying, come, come. Now you stand. Who's Pharaoh? Not a problem to me. I've got God with me. God is with me. I don't fear the wrath of the king. He can do whatever he's doing. There needs it. We are in a time in our lives when we need people that are able to stand up, not out of their personality or bravado or by their own courage, but stand up by their conviction and say, I'm not afraid. I love you. Not afraid of you. I love you. I love you. I want to talk to you. I want to minister to you. You cheated me out of some money. I am sorry that you cheated me out of money, but I forgive you. I took up the cross, and I found forgiveness from God in my heart. I pray for you that you would stop stealing money from people. And if you don't, you have God to answer to. But I'm not in a place, don't bring Christians to court, but eat it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I can't eat it. It's a great offense. In that case, he said to the Corinthians, why can't you eat it and take it? All passing anyway. What do we have? We have something a lot greater. We have a relationship with God. We learn it. We grow in it. And we believe it. And after a while, I let go of the car. It's not dragging me anymore. I get up. I say, God, I did it my way. I need your healing in my life. I forgive. And God says, forgive. That's what I do. God says, I forgive. I love. I give grace. I invest in people. I care about them. I know they can change. I wouldn't give my son if I didn't believe they would change. I haven't sent the Holy Spirit if I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit would make this great thing happen. Of course he did. So, Moses left Egypt, and if we interviewed Moses at the end, we just say, Moses, what's going on? He goes, I'll tell you. It was a rough road all the way. It was amazing. I would do it again and again and again. I want to learn about God. I want to find God. And I found him. And God has helped me and blessed me and used me and refreshed me and renewed me. Moses, wait a minute. Aren't you tired? After millions of people not following and obeying and all the strife and everything? Aren't you tired? 120 years old, it says. He was fresh as a daisy, my words. His face was not abated. His eye was not dim. How did he stay so healthy? Why did it happen? God is saying to us, the stress that you and I are under, that when we live with a self-life, we live with a stress that we're not made for. We're not made for the stresses that we have in this modern world. We're not made for an unforgiving spirit. We're not made to live in our self-interest and our self-life. We're not made to live for ourselves. We are choking on our self-life. We're not made for it. We have anxiety and fear, and it drives people to terrible consequences because they don't know the cross. But when we learn the cross, we say simple prayers of faith, and we learn love, and we learn forgiveness and wisdom, and we gain. And we say, Moses, how are you feeling? He said, I could do it all over again. How can you say that? It wasn't a big deal. God did it. I saw God do it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, amen. Lord, thank you for these thoughts tonight. I don't know how to say these things and except, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. Maybe there have been times in my life when I took up the cross and I found Jesus Christ refreshing me in the night, helping me with my family, helping me in the ministry, helping me when I was empty, helping me when I was alone, helping me when I had fear, helping me when I had problems with people, helping me to be relaxed and free and to love and to be spirit-filled, helping me to find you, to know you. Yes, 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 Jesus. This is the time in life where we must learn. In the morning, take up the cross. At night, before you go to bed, and night in life, I know it's hard. We counsel people all the time and understand them. There's something here for all of us to learn. Thank you, God. Help us in Jesus' name. And then anyone not a believer tonight, come to Jesus by faith. Come to him as you are. Come to him, please, just as you are. Bring all the baggage. Bring all the stuff. Bring yourself, everything you've ever done, everything that you are. Bring the whole stock and barrel, the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. Bring it all, the good and the bad, the ugly. Bring it all before God. And sincerely in your heart say to him, I trust you. Please fill me with your spirit. Please show me more of who you are. Show me your forgiveness and lead me in the way that you have for me. I trust in you in Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, raise your hand. Anybody for the first time saying the prayer, anyone at all saying the prayer to Jesus, anybody? Thank you, anyone.